Views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and contributors, and not necessarily those of WFSU Public Media.
What's the 411? You're tuned in to 411 Teen. 411 Teen is a weekly program for teens, families, and other interested folks. 411 Teen provides a forum to examine and discuss various issues and events that confront, intersect, and sometimes interrupt our daily lives. I'm Dr. Liz Holyfield. Everyone needs to know how to manage money. Survival skills for the 21st century must include financial literacy. According to the 2018 Survey of States, Economic and Personal Finance Education in our nation's schools, conducted by Council of Education, CEE, only 17 states require high school students to take a personal finance course. Greg Merced is the co-founder and CEO of Busy Kid, an online site that introduces kids to learning about their personal finances and promotes work ethics and responsibility. Greg, welcome to 411 Teen.
Hey, it's great to be with you today. Thanks for having me on.
Yes. First of all, would you share with us what was your impetus in advocating for financial literacy among young folks?
It was completely selfish, okay?
Okay.
I have six kids, so pray for me, okay?
Well, you got a lot of guinea. Hey, you got a lot of guinea pigs. You can experiment on them.
That's right. That's right. They're pretty good. And I wanted them to get out of my house. So I thought, how do I do that? So that's how it all started. No, but honestly, I've been a certified financial planner for over 20 years, and I've been working with successful business owners for all that time. And I started kind of recognizing that they all had two things in common. And those two things were, they worked really hard and they were smart with their money. Hmm. And so I thought, I got to get those two things, those two characteristics, those two traits into my kids somehow, because that's going to get them to be successful and get them out of my house. So that's really kind of how Busy Kid came to be. You blend those two things together, being smart with your money and working hard, and that's essentially, when you boil it right down, that's what Busy Kid is all about. It teaches those two things.
And how do you do that? I mean, give me some examples of Busy Kids, and also share with the listening audience how they can connect with Busy Kid. Where is
it? So I think it's really important that we kind of set the stage here.
Okay.
We have kids growing up in an age where everything is digital, right? I mean, we don't carry around money like we used to. Like, I don't even have a wallet, okay? I literally have my phone that has like a little case, uh-huh. And then I have my credit card and a few other cards in that case. I don't even carry like a traditional wallet, like in the back, you know, the back pocket of your pants. And more, that's becoming our reality, which is this cashless society where we're like swiping our card or just staring into our phone and doing some facial recognition to where we're making payments that way. Like, it's completely changed.
Uh-huh.
And so because of that big change, we have to change the way we start teaching our kids about money, because I believe that the days of, okay, little Johnny, let's buy you a piggy bank and stick it up on your dresser and stuff money into it and find some coins at the bottom of the couch and put those in there too, that's all gone. Like, mm-hmm. that ship has sailed. That is old school, and we don't need to do that anymore. Same thing with envelopes. Same thing with just any of those kind of, you know, jars, put money in jars. Like, enough all that, okay?
Right.
That's not the real world anymore. So we got to kind of kick it up a notch, and that is, we got to start teaching them about what I call invisible money. because that's what money is anymore. It's just invisible.
Right.
It's just money. It's just little numbers on a screen.
Uh-huh.
So we got to teach them how that all works. And like you mentioned at the very beginning here, they don't get that kind of education at school.
I know. But,
it's crazy to me.
Yeah, excuse me for interrupting you, though. Do you have any insights as to why the schools have I guess, dropped the ball concerning financial literacy? I mean, at least I remember when I was in school. Now, that was way back in 02. Not really, but that we did learn how to balance a check. We know how to deal with a checkbook, going to the bank. I mean, I can't remember. I don't know how much detail, if it was. I must not remember it all. But we did get a certain level of financial literacy. And now the schools don't, well, at least the schools here in Florida, do not receive that. Okay?
Yeah. Well, and it's a crazy thing. I mean, the two big things for me. Number one, when you even said this, you know, we used to learn how to balance a checkbook.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we don't even carry checkbooks anymore.
Well, that's
I
true.
Don't.
That's true. Yeah,
I only write about two checks a year, and they're usually to the IRS. It makes me mad. So you know, that kind of thing is just something that, once again, it's kind of antiquated. And the schools haven't really kind of come along to kind of this new way of teaching for the most part.
Right.
And when they do kind of teach about that stuff, it's usually in high school, which, if you ask me, that's too late in the game.
Yeah.
Because at that point, these kids should have, like, real jobs and being out there earning their money and making decisions with that money. But you got to lay the groundwork a lot earlier than high school, or you're going to have some people with some kind of bad habits and not making very good decisions and a whole bunch of, you know, mistakes along the way.
Well, where do we start? Well, I mean, because wise money management is a key and kids need it, but do they still receive allowances today? If they do you recommend it? Do you think allowance is beneficial? Where do we start? For the parents who are listening and administrators, where do we start to teach to reinforce wise money management and financial literacy for the 21st century?
Yeah. So I think this is really actually pretty easy. And I know everybody's like, they get overwhelmed on this, but they shouldn't, okay? The very best place to start is your own home. Like, it's the perfect little ecosystem to teach your kids about this stuff, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you why. Number one, I'll guarantee you got some chores that need to be done around your house. Somebody needs to feed that dog. Somebody needs to take out the trash. Somebody needs to vacuum the car out, you know, dust the piano. There's so many things that need to be done. And those are perfect little jobs for your kids. And I believe that they need to start doing that stuff, and they need to start contributing so they learn how to work. Once again, it goes back to my successful people know how to work hard. You got to teach them when they're really little. I don't want my kids to just sit around and watch me work because then they're not learning how to do it. So it's a perfect little ecosystem. Give them some chores and let them start working. And then give them some money for doing those chores, because then they can get the money to start making decisions. And there's a big, huge, like, controversy around, well, I'm not going to pay my kid to do some chores. They're just going to do that because they live here. I totally get that, okay? I fully understand what that is. Like I said, we've got a bunch of kids running around this house ourselves. I get that. There are certain things that you do not need to pay your kids to do. They just need to do it. I get it.
Uh-huh.
But is your 11-year-old going to go get a job at McDonald's or Target or something else? No, they can't.
Right.
So this is the perfect place for them to get a job. And I sometimes literally call Busy Kid your kid's first job with direct deposit, because that's what we want to do. We want them to work, and then we want to let them get some money so that once they have some money, they can make some financial decisions, because you can't make them without it. And if you do, it's not very impactful, right? Oh, okay, I'll give you some fake money and you can make some fake decisions.
That's not going to get it.
What? That's not going to work, right?
No.
You got to have some real money so you can make some real decisions. So this is the perfect place to do it. And it's not that hard. Just sit down and dream up some chores you want them to do. And with Busy Kid, we literally do it for you. We give you a list. And you just say, oh, I definitely need that done. And we even go another step and say, why don't you, we suggest what you should pay him.
Oh.
So, and okay. if you think, well, shoot, that's a little too high or a little too low, okay, fine, change it. But we give you a great starting point, right? So you literally just like give them some chores, assign some values to it. And then they're going to actually get off the couch, quit scrolling Instagram for 5 minutes, and go do something to earn some money. And then you got a great, perfect place for them to go make some decisions and learn.
So,
I believe kids learn best by doing stuff, not by sitting around reading about it.
I think that's excellent. I was going to say at that point, what you're doing is you're introducing financial literacy at 4 or 5 or 6 years of age, because even at 6 years of age, 5 years of age, there are things they can do. They can feed the dog.
Oh,
yeah, they can feed.
Bet.
Yeah,
absolutely.
You know, and if they save up enough money and understand what they need to do, how they need to handle it, they can go buy whatever you deem they are allowed to buy.
Yeah, you know, and I really believe that it's a disservice for your kids if you just say, well, Sally, I'm going to give you $20 a week for doing nothing. Like, it's like, what? I don't understand that. That doesn't compute to me, because I've been looking. I've been looking, 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 and I still can't find a job in the real world where you can show up and get a paycheck and do nothing. Like, I don't know where that job is. I'm trying to find it, but it doesn't exist. And so why would we ever teach our kids that that's the way money works? It doesn't.
Yeah.
That's not how it works.
And people, when you find that,
you gotta work.
When you find that job, you will be a multimillionaire, because a lot of people will want to know how you found it. Oh, you'll be very popular if you find that kind of job. But I understand, and it's a real good premise. You're tuned in to 411 Teen, a forum for teens and other interested folks. I'm talking with Greg Merced. We're going to take a brief break, but we'll get right back at you. What's the 411? You're tuned in to 411 Teen. I'm Dr. Liz Holyfield, and I'm talking with Greg Merced, a certified financial planner and consultant who advocates for improved financial education in the schools, but also gives parents a hint on how to establish financial literacy. Greg, you talk about modern money, and I guess in referring to modern money, you were talking about that invisible money, right? Is that
yes?
And we are at that point. We are at that point. At what point do you feel like, well, this modern money that young folks can use credit cards, because that's what this modern money is about, are bank cards. That's a question that I've gotten received a lot of times. Make sure you asked him to talk about this whole, you know, bank cards, credit cards situation. So can we go into that? Because if you have a checking account or a savings account, as we were talking earlier, you don't have a checkbook now. You have a card.
Yeah.
So at what point do you recommend that young folks can take on that responsibility?
Yeah. So I think that's a great question, and I think it's fundamental, because if we're going to teach our kids about modern money or invisible money, you've got to teach them with the right medium, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that medium's a card. And so we've got to really start understanding And you got to put one foot in front of the other. They got to learn where the money comes from, which we just talked about, right? It's got to come from work and busting it out and doing stuff and earning money. And then I think you get that money onto a card as early as you can. I mean, with the Busy Kids Spend cards, you can put it on the card for a seven-year-old kid. And that is just really important. And every kid's going to be just a little bit different. But these kids are smart. And if you kind of question that at all, I mean, you can always ask your kid, oh, how do I do this or that on my phone or this or that on my iPad? I'll guarantee you that they're going to know the answer. They're just going to whip around and boom, 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 and the next thing you know. So they adapt to this technology. They adapt to this modern money, like, so fast. They get it. And so get it going as early as possible so they can start understanding really important things. One thing that I'd like to maybe differentiate is, how do you teach a kid between a credit card and a debit card? Because there's like, they look the same, but they're not, right? So I think a perfect place to do that is when you're in the store and you're waiting, right? Usually what you're waiting in the checkout line or whatever, and your kid's fussing around with all the gum and all that other kind of junk they have in the waiting aisle, right?
Right.
And they're like, oh, I want that, and I want this, you know, Pez dispenser, and I want these baseball cards, and I want all this stuff. Well, distract them for a minute and say, hey, I want to ask you a question, and pull out both those cards. One's a credit card, one's a debit card.
Okay.
And say, hey, look, what, you know, do you see any difference with these cards? And they might say, well, this one's blue and this one's black or whatever. Yeah, that's true. But these two cards act completely different, and I want to tell you the difference. This card right here is what they call a debit card. And when I slide this up here and, you know, I put in my code, it sucks the money right out of my account. Just boom, right now, right then, it goes to Walmart or wherever you are, and it goes to the store. And if I use this card, I slide it and sign the thing, and I'm going to get a bill at the end of the month that has all the charges that we've ever done for the whole month. And then you can just, like, that's a perfect place to teach that and say one sucks it out right away and one kind of makes a big long list and sends me a bill at the end of the month. You see how I can kind of get a little out of control if I use this one a lot? Because it doesn't suck it out right away, right? So I think I have more money than I actually do. What a great place to teach the difference between those two things that look almost identical to a kid.
Well, in talking about credit cards, would you advise them as to what to look for when they do get a credit card? Because credit card companies target young, inexperienced, naive students. So if you would give us some advice on credit card selection,
I would say first things first, I would make sure that the kid starts to understand debit first, right? So that they understand that whole concept. And then the best thing that I think you can teach a kid is, if you use a credit card, use one that you pay off every month, right? And if you've laid the groundwork with a debit card for them for a number of years, they're going to get that because they understand, wait, I can't spend money I don't have. And then when you get the credit card, I think that same mentality is a mentality you should kind of keep, which is, if I don't have the money to pay this card off, I'm not going to buy it.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. And so that's a perfect way to set the stage for a responsible credit card user.
Okay.
And if you're a responsible credit card user and you're paying that balance off every month, then you don't have to worry too much about, you know, all the crazy terms, right?
Right.
Because you're not going to get dinged, penalized, and pay interest and do all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like, you know, a little prevention is better than the cure. I just think just work on trying to get them to be a very responsible debit card user, and then they'll be a responsible credit card user. And then, you know, who cares if they want, you know, points for this or 1% cash back on this or 2% cash back on that, whatever. They can do kind of whatever they get excited about. But the fundamentals is this is going to be a person that's not going to be abused by the credit card company, but they're going to be just using it as a convenience and as a, you know, a way of kind of getting something for nothing.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, great. You know, you get a free flight or whatever you want. Mm-hmm. Great. Super.
Well, today's students, at least here in the United States, seem to work more than any other students in industrialized countries. Research indicates that they're working for items that they want, more so than even they need. For an example, the designer purse or the special rims of the car, as opposed to necessities. At what point do we introduce the budget and teach one about developing a budget? What would you suggest?
What a great question. So this is one of those things, once again, if you start early, it's almost like they're gonna have the mentality to live within a budget almost naturally. But if you don't, then you gotta, it's like the example of you plant a tree, and if it's just a little wisp of a tree when you plant it, it's pretty easy to kind of steer that tree in the direction you want it to be, right?
Right.
You can use it like just a piece of string,
right?
You know, to keep that tree where you want it. If you wait and wait and wait until it gets crooked and you want to try to straighten it up, boy, you got to do some serious, you know, damage, right? You got to cut some things off and make it all crazy like that. So, you've got to start really early teaching a kid, hey, and once again, I call it turning the table on your own kid. So if they're at the store with you and they, you know, I want this, I want that, this is a perfect opportunity to say, you know what, if you want that, that's great. You got your own card and you got your own money, so go ahead and buy it. And once again,
exactly.
This is a perfect way to teach a budget or teach, hey, you only have this much money, you can't spend more than you have. But you're using you're empowering that kid to make a decision all of a sudden, not just, nope, right? Because we as parents, you know, kind of get into that. But why not just turn the table on them and say, hey, you got your money, you worked hard, buddy. If you want to buy it, then it's up to you. And then they buy that. And then 3 days later, it's broken. That's a great lesson.
Yeah.
It's actually a really great lesson that they've learned with a $12 item instead of, you know, something that costs $1,200.
Right.
So I think it's great even to let them kind of make a quasi-bad decision when they're younger, because they're going to learn from it. Mm-hmm. And you know what's going to happen is that kid's going to be, oh, I'm not going to do that again. I had to scoop up the dog poop for 3 weeks to buy that something or other. It just broke.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
indeed,
so
that's exactly. It is. It's a good lesson. And the environment, the learning environment, is natural and real, and it's very transferable. So it has all the necessary components for being successful.
Turn the table on your kid in a very natural way, in the just the flow of your life, you know? Oh, I really want some new tennis shoes. Great. That's fantastic. You go buy them yourself, or you say, you know what? It is the beginning of school, and we usually do get you some shoes, but those shoes are, like, way more expensive than what we want to pay for, so we'll go halve, you know? You pay half, I pay half. Great.
Great.
So now, all of a sudden, they've got skin in the game, and guess what? They're going to take care of those shoes like you can't believe it, you know, instead of just like walking through the mud and not even caring. They're going to be like staring around the puddle, right?
Right.
Like, that's super important, but they're not going to learn it unless they have a, like, skin in the game. They have some hard, you know, sweat, blood, sweat, and tears poured into that by using their own money.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about letting them earn it and then learn how to use it.
Do you have any suggestions or formulas in helping them to understand the difference between a need and a want? Because I think that's important when we start talking about finances and making
totally
purchases.
Important.
Yes.
Yeah, it's totally important. And you know what? This one is one of those, it kind of depends on the family, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's family is just a little bit different. And some people's, you know, needs are different than
right.
other people. So this one, you got to have a little flex. But once again, I think the most important thing when it comes to determining what a need and a want is to just be clear about it and kind of hold tight to your decision.
Uh-huh.
The worst thing you could do for a kid is just give them kind of an ambiguous answer or something that's not clear, right? So if you decide that, you know, it's a need this week, but next week it's a want, then they're going to be confused and they're going to be, you know, you're never really going to make a lot of good traction. But when it comes to the needs and wants, you know, I've heard it explained, well, you know, you need food, you need shelter, and you need clothes. Okay, that's pretty basic, right?
Right.
I agree, you know. And once again, and if you need clothes, but you don't need the most designer clothes out there in the whole world or the most expensive new Nikes that they have out. So you can always kind of say it's a need, but if you want something a little better, well, you're kicking in. And I think that's great. And I think that's a great way to teach. But I would say, you know, that's probably a nice line, right?
Uh-huh.
Food, shelter, clothing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, those are the basics, right? Other than that, you know, you kick in and you buy your own stuff. I think it's a wonderful thing. When it gets to become, you know, when they're teenagers, like 16, 17, 18, you know, and they're that, well, you got to determine, well, okay, I want them to drive to school every day because I don't want to drive them.
Right.
You know, okay, I'm going to pay for the insurance and the car, and they pay for the gas.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Maybe that's fair, right? Maybe uh-huh. that's what you determine in your family. Uh-huh. That's kind of fair. You know, if they have to pay the car payment and the insurance and the registration and the tires,
oh,
and the oil change,
that's
and the
overwhelming.
Gas,
yeah, no,
they're never going to be home. They're going to be working four jobs, right?
Right.
So you got to balance that out a little bit, but
okay.
But I think it's important to just establish it, be clear about it, and then stick to your guns. You know, don't wiggle around on your kid because they'll get confused and then. Then they'll, you know, they'll try to use it against you. I'll guarantee it. But,
yeah.
but clarity really helps them.
Okay. Well, how important is saving? I know when I first started working, my parents told me, you save some, you give some away, and then you can spend some. So how important is
That's
saving?
Because you've got brilliant parents right there. So... this is what I call the balanced financial approach, okay? We as Americans love a non-balanced financial approach, which is whatever I earn, I'm spending it.
Uh-huh.
Right? And you look at the savings statistics over time, you know, we as, you know, as a nation, if you just look at it broadly, you know, we save anywhere from 3 to 6%, right? Not very much.
No.
We spend most of it, right? So... I think this is why Busy Kids philosophy is what it is. If kids can learn early that you don't blow it all when you earn it, that's going to be very beneficial to them. So what happens in our system is literally every dollar that a kid earns comes into our system, and then we split it up automatically.
Mm-hmm.
Some goes in saving,
mm-hmm.
some goes in sharing, and some goes in spending. Literally, those three S's, right? Save, share, spend. And we do that every single time. And it's a little bit different how we split it up based upon the age of the kid. But, you know, in general, we split it up in those buckets. And that teaches a balanced financial approach,
okay.
Not just, you know, earn it, blow it.
Uh-huh.
Because that's the natural thing. Nobody needs to be taught how to do that. It seems like we all know how to do that pretty well. yeah, right?
As they get ready to shift. To save, would you make a distinction between the institution that they select? And by that, I'm talking about a bank versus a credit union. And I know that they all have their own little benefits and whatever, but I mean overall, just make the distinction between the bank and the credit union?
Yeah. So, great question. I'm gonna go out of a limb here, Liz. This is kind of my thought process. When a kid saves $50 and they put it into a bank account or at a credit union, put it into an account, and it earns 0.05%, like that's just kind of lame, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I guess this is the way I say it, right? They're going to earn, 2 cents. And I don't think that's going to do much for
you.
Okay? So I'm going to throw something out there that I think is even more meaningful and I think a better learning experience for a kid. I think they need to take some of their money and I think they need to buy stock.
Okay?
Mm-hmm. And our system facilitates this because I think it's so important. Because in the long run, stocks do better. Can they lose money? Yes. Do they lose money over the long run? Not very often, depending on how long you have it in there. But I think it's just more important, and frankly, it's more engaging for a young person to take $50 and to go buy some stock that's in a company that they thinks pretty cool. I mean, if they like electric cars, they can buy some Tesla stock, or if they like trucks, they can buy Ford, or if they like Disney movies, buy Disney. I mean, great. If, instead of watching Netflix all day, how about watch Netflix stock? Buy a little Netflix stock.
That sounds good. You're tuned in to 411 Teen. I am talking with Greg Merced. We are talking financial literacy. We're going to take a brief break, but we'll return momentarily.
Views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and contributors and not necessarily those of WFSU Public Media.
If you're just tuning in, the program is 411 Teen. I'm Dr. Liz Hollyfield, and joining me via phone is Greg Merced. Greg is a financial planner, certified financial planner, and the author or co-founder of a online program for kids and their parents, which will help them as far as handling money. I had to interrupt you, Greg. I don't know if you had something else you wanted to say about stocks.
Oh, well, no problem at all. What I was saying is try to find something that your kids care about or they think is cool and let them invest in that. Because you're going to pay a lot more attention to it,
right?
I've got two boys, my own boys. One's 14, one's 16, and both of them like different stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The 16-year-old likes trucks, and the 14-year-old likes Disney movies. So guess what they own? One owns Disney stock, the other one owns Ford stock.
That's great.
And you know what? I can ask them almost any day of the week, "Hey, how's the Ford stock doing?" And he knows what it's trading at.
That is
the same thing with
great.
The Disney guy, right? Like, I'm telling you, that is so much more impactful. And then you can, that sets the stage for a conversation. Like, wow, why do you think they're up? Or why do you think they're down? Or maybe we should sell it. Like, that gives a lot of great conversation as opposed to, hey, look, that $50 you put in the bank, it earned one penny last month. Isn't that fantastic? it's just too boring. And
yes.
It's just it almost gives the flavor of, I feel like the bank's ripping me off, Dad.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well.
So I say, just try something a little different and let them understand how the stock market works. Because if you look at, all the studies that have been done, successful financially secure people, they almost always own equities or they almost always own stock. So let them get into that early and figure it out. And then they'll have a higher probability of being one of those financially successful people.
Okay. You founded Busy Kid. It's an online site. I want you to give us an address for the listening audience, how they can connect to a busy kid because we've been talking, and we have not given them the information that they may need. They may want to connect, go online and find out about it. Is there a cost that's involved with it? Would you elaborate a little bit more on Busy Kid and my job chart? Yes.
So Busy Kid is that's the website, literally. Mm-hmm. Busy Kid, BUSYKID, and essentially what we like to say is, you know, get your kids busy, working hard, and managing their money. Because a lot of kids these days, I think, are not busy doing things that are meaningful. They're busy doing stuff that's just like a brain drain. They're doing just nothing.
Nonsense stuff.
You know? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And they got to do something that's important, that's going to really make their life better in the future. And I think that's why we've set Busy Kid up the way we have, which is, kids go in, they look at their chores for the day, they do them, they accomplish them, just like we do if we went to work, you know? I got to get these 6 things done today before I can leave, you know? So a kid does that, they earn money, and then that money gets divided up, save, share, spend, and they're having to make decisions. Like, we've really tried to make Busy Kid a mirror of reality. It's not some video game, it's not some fake system that you IOUs or something. Like, it's real money. Like, and you're not chasing, you know, avatars and stuff. Like, this is the real deal. This is how you learn those fundamental life skills that will really change a kid's mentality, work ethic, and the ability for them to be financially secure in the future. So
Okay. That's
what Busy Kid is. It's a system that a family can use to teach that stuff. And if you implement a system and stick with it, then you'll see the rewards. And it's almost that easy. Get a system and stick with it.
Mm-hmm.
and all the rest will come along.
Well, Greg, you know, we would be remiss if we did not talk about loans, student loans, during this financial literacy program. And, you know, by loans, I'm talking about the types of loans, you know, should they be subsidized, unsubsidized? How do you have a suggestion? And I know this also depends on the student and their individual family situation. But what is the best way to finance college? Or maybe you're not looking at college, but you're looking at a new business venture.
Yes. So this is such a big deal. You know, I'm looking at a report right now that there's $1.56 trillion in student loan debt.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost mind-blowing. Actually, it is mind-blowing. I don't even know how many zeros that is. That is so much money. And I think the best way that you can prepare for college is to do what we've been talking about, which is teach your kids young to work hard and save some money. Because there's lots of options. Like, there's lots of community colleges. There's lots of courses you can take, like, concurrently in high school that gives you college credit. There's lots of options now to be able to curb some of that cost. To just go headlong into college and think, oh, well, I'm just going to rack up my debt, that's crazy to me. I think we need to be really smart about having kids not only take those kind of avenues like community college or dual credit enrollment when they're in high school, take advantage of those, but also be saving up for that stuff. And I think it's not particularly fair for a kid to think, well, either I'm getting student loans or my parents are going to pay for this. Like, I think that's crazy because their parents, they've been paying for that kid for 18 years.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, good grief. We got to have some time to save up for our own retirement. Mm. So I think if a kid can start learning to do that early, and then they get into high school and they get some part-time job and they're smart with it, they can save thousands and thousands of dollars up. I know. I've got 3 kids that are in college now, and that's what they did. And it's not because I'm like the greatest teacher in the world or something. It's just you put a system in place and you make it happen. But none of them, they've all completed, I don't know, between, you know, 1 to 3 years worth of college, and none of them got any student loans yet. Oh, I think that's just fantastic.
That is.
And you just got to be smart, right? And you got to, you know, eat tuna and crackers, I guess, when you're going to college. And I think a lot of kids these days think that, you know, when you go to college, you go out to eat every other night. And, like,
no.
That's crazy.
Mm-mm. Yeah, that is crazy. And it's not healthy either.
So, yeah, so. Exactly. So teach them early that, hey, I'm not paying for this whole gig. You need to be saving your money. And then if you've taught them how to work hard and to be smart with their money, they're going to be able to do that, to kind of hedge off some of that student loan mess. And it's going to be so important if they can avoid that to the best extent that they can. That just changes their future in a really big way.
How much debt?
I think those are the main things.
Okay. How much? Some may still have to go into debt. I think the average, when one graduates from college, the average debt is around $37,000. I think, I'm not quite sure, but something like that. That's been identified as students owing. How much debt for college do you think is reasonable? Let's say they're going to take out a loan. Do you have a recommendation as to how much they should take comfortably?
Yeah, so good question. I don't think you can put a number on it because it kind of depends on what they're going to do, right?
Mm-hmm, exactly.
I mean, if you're going to go to medical school, it's going to be higher than if you don't. It's going to be, you know, depends on how long you're in school. I think the kind of overall advice that I would give is take out as little as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And there's ways to do that. Number one, your own savings, and then your parents, if they kick in, great. If there's, you know, grants that can be utilized, grants are better than loans, right? And I almost feel like some of these, you know, quote, student loans, they're almost marketed to kids now, like, you know, it's like free money. And
right.
It's not.
Right.
You know? It's that anchor around your neck that you're going to have to carry for years and years and years. And it looks kind of fun and easy when you're getting into it at the beginning, but boy, that thing just never goes away. So I think if they're smart, saving their own money, using the family resources if they've had them, doing grants, and just take out the just absolute minimum that you can to get through your education, and then, you know, pay it back as quick as you can.
Okay.
That's the way to do it. And once again, turn down your expectations about how, you know, elaborate your college, you know, experience is going to be. Don't waste money on stuff that's just a waste, right? I mean, live a very basic lifestyle. Become a minimalist, maybe. And then you won't have as much expense. So I think there's a lot of good sense in all that.
What do you think about the college prepaid programs? Would parents be better off taking that money and investing it into stocks and then not being tied to a specific school or a specific state? Are prepaid programs the way to go?
You know what? I think you're question had the answer built into it. And what I mean by that is, I think that tying yourself to that is, I just personally don't really like that. You know, I would much rather see a family that says, okay, I'm going to start saving for college. I'd see a family put money in stocks or mutual funds or something like that. And if the kid wants to, you know, he gets to where he or she's 19 years old and decides, you know what, college just isn't for me. I want to start a, you know, a lawnmowing business or a design business or something like that. I'd much rather have the flexibility to just say, you know what, that's a great idea. It's thought out well. Let's go for it. You know, we have this, you know, little account set aside. Let's make it happen. I just think that that's much better and a lot more flexibility than being just kind of locked into something. That's just me, but I think that you got to give your kids some flexibility, because at the end of the day, you don't really know what they like or what they don't like until you get pretty close to that time.
In these last few minutes, there's always a thousand more questions, but one of them that we have, one thing that we have not discussed at this point is establishing and building credit. And you talk to these parents and these young folks about building credit and credit reports. Where do we go? What is your position on that?
Boy, this is a chicken and the egg, isn't it? You need credit, but
right?
Get it and all that.
It's just a mess.
It really is.
It is.
And we're working on that stuff. But I think the best way to do it is get a secured credit card. You know, if you're 17 or something like that, get your parents to do a secured credit card that has, you know, a little bit of a limit on it, $400 or $500 maybe less, $200, $300, something like that. And get into the rhythm of what we talked about earlier, which is put it on the card, pay it off. Put it on the card, pay it off. And nowadays, it's actually really easy because it's all online, right? It's not like we have to go home, get out the checkbook, write a check, put it in the mail, put a stamp. We don't have to do any of that. We can literally just grab your phone, pull up your phone, and pay off the card. Online takes you 30 seconds. And I think that's the best thing to do to start building and establishing credit, is to get that that credit card that's, you know, backed by some money at the bank, secured, and let your kids start learning how to do that whole thing, which is charge it and pay it off, charge it and pay it off. And if they get dinged with a late fee and interest and stuff like that, well, I guess they'll learn. But what we'd like to do is establish a good credit, right?
Right.
And that is discipline and charging and paying it off. So that's what I would do.
Okay. Do you feel that it's necessary for students to get low-cost investment advisors? That's a big thing that I've seen on the campuses, automated low-cost investment advisors. Is that necessary? Does one need that?
So I think, you got all sorts of good questions. I think nowadays it's becoming more and more, you know, we hear about robo-advising and more and more kind of basic investment advice that you can kind of do on your own. I don't think there's anything wrong with that at all.
Okay.
I'm one that, you know, has been advising people on their finances and getting paid for it for years. But I don't think there's anything wrong with a younger person, like, figuring that stuff out on their own. I think it's really important. And frankly, the more you know, the more you're empowered. And so that's really kind of why with Busy Kid, we encourage kids to get involved with that stuff early and learn about it early and experience it early, because the more they do, the more empowered they're going to be.
The more proficient.
To make better decisions in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And they can make them on their own. And I think it's smart. Get involved with that. There's lots of, you know, platforms when they're getting older and in college. And, you know, you can make some trades on your own and you can do those kinds of things, and I think it just makes good sense. And if you start early, they're going to be used to it.
If one does, and this is the last question, I do really have about 20 more that I could think of, but if one does select financial investment advisor, is there particular conditions, criteria that we need to look for?
When you're younger, you know, cost will be a pretty big factor, and I would just say, you know, just get somebody that you can trust. And take that advice, and then start a regimen and stick with it. Because the more you can save earlier in life, the better you're going to be off. And just find somebody you trust and be smart and make a decision.
And that may be through word of mouth. I mean, they may ask their parents, they may ask relatives if they have someone that they recommend.
Yeah,
that they've had a good experience with. Well, many thanks, Greg. I appreciate you sharing your expertise with us. Thanks to Greg Merced, advocate for improved financial education in the schools and co-founder and CEO of Busy Kid and My Job Chart. To my listening audience, I appreciate your ear. This is Dr. Liz Holyfield for 411 Teen. Tune in next week, same time, same place, to get the 411 on 411 Teen. Teen was produced by Dr. Liz Holyfield. Technical assistance was provided by Ken Smith. If you would like to participate in 411 Teen or have suggestions for discussion topics, call 850-645-7200. 411 Teen archives are available as streaming audio and as downloads from WFSU.org. Check us out on Facebook.